Chapter 1. Thief. People are the best kind of monster, the thought played through his mind. If they caught him again, he'd be finished. They'd beat him, and his story would end when the fingers of starvation closed around him in that wretched hole. None would note his passing.
Not even God cares about you, runt!
The words echoed in his mind, and he was sure they wouldn't be wrong twice.
Where's it from?
The thump of a pike shaft against the planks almost made Makwa jump. He kept himself plastered to the far side of the crate he was hiding behind to elude the two watchmen. He swallowed, forcing himself to be still, and used the view of the incoming ship to calm himself. The clouds caused the light given by one of Nam's two moons to fall over the ship, giving the vessel a ghost-like quality as portions within the light moved and changed in silvery luminance bound by dappled shadows.
Rothia, looks like. Hard to tell in this gloom.
It sure is a pretty ship. It's probably got money on it worth a herd of Cathberries. Oh, hey, don't you have God at the stables tonight?
The man snorted.
Nothing is happening there.
What'll happen when Mouth does the rounds? You know he's going to.
Makwa's ears perked.
I asked him if I could take a stroll down to see the docks, get some air, and answer a thousand questions.
There was a soft growl from the other man.
He never lets me do that when I have stable duty. What makes you so special?
The crate shifted just a little, and Makwa held his breath. The watchman's voice was right above his head.
It's probably just because of the livestock fair this week. Well, that, and the runt we caught the other day. Keeping the boss happy, you know.
The man pushed off the crate and turned to his companion.
Oh, what a kink in the tail that thief runt was! Did you see that I had to hit him thrice to put him out?
Breathing was an option again for Makwa. He touched his head, remembering the blows.
Yeah, and he bit your hand when you grabbed him, didn't he? What happened to him?
The ship came to moor beside them, and Makwa could hear the dockhands calling for the lines.
Yeah, he did. Sharp teeth and a street runt. Glad I had my gloves on. I talked to Molly the other night, and he said the kid vanished.
There was a sharp intake of breath.
No way. Not from that hole. Nobody gets out of it who isn't taken out.
The sound of heavy boots began to retreat.
Well, he hasn't been eating at food call. Bad shame, that kid. Come on, let's see to the pretty ship here. All tight!
The dock workers stepped back from the knots and stood ready. Their boss held his lantern up and chatted with the captain of the vessel. After a few standard questions, the man shrugged and turned away with a wave for his men to follow. A loud voice from the deck called out,
So, it's all done and you walk just like that?
The man glanced over his shoulder. His tail flicked about as he walked up the ramp and put his hand on the man's arm. Whatever he said was too quiet to be heard by anyone else. The man threw his hands up.
No! By Jume, I made a good meal, and if you lot go for your land food, it'll all go to waste when you forget it.
The word food stuck out like a huge silver fish in a shallow tide pool. Makwa crept closer. The captain pointed his insignia, then toward the shore, and leaned closer to the other man to say something to which the man nodded. From his spot behind a few barrels, Makwa got a whiff of a delicious smell wafting from the ship. His stomach issued a plea for the umpteenth time, and his eyes narrowed as he watched the men file off the ship. They chattered in loud, jovial voices as they walked down the ramp and down the dock into the distance.
"Drink until we can't drink no more! Barumis mead's the best, I say! Oh, Kloop, don't be such a grouch. I'm going to smack the ears off the head of every one of you if you don't eat it tomorrow. What if I buy you a few drinks? Well, maybe not then.
The voices faded into laughter. A man in robes followed the others from the ship. He was different somehow, and the expensive-looking crystal atop his walking staff also caught Makwa's eye. He watched until the man was indistinguishable among the others in the night. In spite of his plaintive stomach, Makwa waited a good while before going through with his plan. He could see the guards down the dock playing cards by the lamp, so he didn't have to worry about them. Once he was sure the last of the stragglers was gone, he made his move. He crept along like only a thief can, and eased up the ramp onto the ship. It was simple to find the galley because of the smell of food leading him by the nose to the bow of the ship. Every quiet step came quicker than the last. No guards blocked his path, And there, over the warm stove, he found a simmering pot of the stuff he was after. A grin spread over his face as he thought to himself, "Thanks, Klook." Wooden bowls were near, and he wasted no time in taking the biggest one he could find and filling it to the rim. He couldn't resist taking a slurp right there from the ladle. It was so hot that it burned his tongue, and he bit back a yelp, wincing. One eye opened, and he looked down at the overlong sleeves of his too loose garb as they seemed determined to join the delicious treat in the bowl he carried. There was a blink, and he sighed, licking his lips. The stuff really was delicious, and he was glad he'd just slurped a bit from the top instead of gulping it down. The sound of a cough from below decks reminded him that alacrity was a virtue. He grabbed a smaller spoon from one of the tables and eased the ladle back into the pot before he looked around one last time for anything else that might prove useful now that he had food. A jacket hanging on the wall caught his eye. It looked warm, so he took it, put it over his dirty tunic. There was also an officer's hat with a wide brim that looked useful for sunny days. He took that, too, and placed it over his head as he turned to go. No sooner had he done this than he heard the creak of a door. He edged back, tucked the bowl behind him, and froze as a yawning man walked into the room right past him. The man smacked his lips, hummed a curious sound as he stood over the pot, and rummaged through a stack of bowls. He found a blue one, flipped it in the air, and snatched it in a deft catch, and grinned.
"Well, Klook, let's see what you made, eh?"
Mokwa could feel the fur of his tail begin to puff. He concentrated on remaining still with narrowed eyes, while holding the bowl behind him without spilling anything. Some stew began to seep hot over his fingers, and he bit his lip. He peered under the edge of the hat as the man scooped a bowl of stew and took a large spoonful directly into his mouth, only to yelp and drop it. The bowl fell, and Mokwa winced before its contents erupted at the sailor's bare feet. The man danced around and shook his toes.
"By the eight winds!"
Makwa's eyes shut tight as the man breezed by him on his way below decks. Nimble feet came to Makwa's aid as he rushed with as much silence as he could through the dining room and up onto the deck that was beyond the far door. Just before he cleared it, he glanced back to catch sight of the sailor cleaning the mess with a towel. That was too close, he thought. He turned the corner, rushed aft down the ship, came to the top of the ramp.
"Who goes there?"
The watchman held a lowered pike that glinted in the dappled moonlight, and he shifted his head a little as he tried to see Mokwa. Mokwa licked his nose as his mind raced for a way out of this.
"Cabin boy."
He was thankful for the clouds that were rolling to hide the tidekeeper's light so the man couldn't get a good look at his face or notice his puffed-up tail. He looked down at the man for what seemed like forever and grew more and more sure the guy wasn't going to buy it. Just when it seemed impossible, the watchman lifted the weapon skyward.
"Carry on."
Mokwa walked past him with a bowl of stew tucked under his jacket in the crook of an arm. He kept his muzzle clenched in silence. He could hear boots on the planks as the guard followed him up the dock and could feel the eyes of the other upon him as he passed by the crate where they had been playing cards by lamplight.
"Hurry up, will you?"
The guard at the crate tapped his cards. Mokwa kept his head low and struggled to keep his ears erect while the sitting man glared into the darkness after him. Once he'd gotten a little distance between the men and himself, he breathed out a sigh of relief. He was home free.
"Boy!"
Mokwa stopped and looked over his shoulder with an ear perked in their direction. He made sure that the hat hid most of his face in the shadow of its brim.
"Aye?"
The guard who had followed him pointed the pike in his direction, its tip glinting in the lamplight.
"Baruma City has a curfew outside the docks, and we don't tolerate suspicious types wandering late. Make sure you're in for the night with your crew soon, or you may wind up in a place you don't like. Nobody escapes the law here."
Mokwa gave him a toothy smile under the edge of the hat.
"Aye, sir."
He started walking again, feeling safer with every step. His ears panned back to listen to the watchman as he slipped away.
"You take your job way too seriously. Who was that anyway?"
"Just a cabin boy."
The smell of the gathering winds told Mokwa that a storm was coming, and that finding a dry place to sleep would be a must. He made his way to the palace grounds and found a familiar hole in the lower east wall. With his bowl of stew in it, he climbed up a tree and then down the inside of the wall using thick vines that grew there. After retrieving his bowl, he began eating again, with visions in his head about an entire week of comfortable sleep. It sure was a nice thought. almost as nice as the bowl of stew that was still half full in his hands. His instincts made him look around before entering the stable. To his surprise, he noted Cathbury still there, but the many empty stalls were comforting and convinced him to climb into the expansive hayloft. A little rummaging here and there made a perfect bed, and he laid down with his jacket over his feet. The dull patter of soft rain on the roof made him smile as he ate. After the last few bites, his eyelids became heavy. With a happy sigh, he let them shut and got the first good sleep he'd known in a long time. Makwa's eyes went wide, his tail puffing as sounds of thunder boomed overhead. In his startled state, he didn't notice at first that he'd knocked the spoon and bowl down from the loft. There was a dull thump and clatter below. He winced and moved to climb down, then froze. There were voices drawing near the stable from the covered walkway outside. He ducked low behind a hay bale at the edge of the loft and tried to slow his breathing. His ears perked. The men entered, one bringing the clank of armored boots on the hard floor, the other the tapping of a staff in accompaniment to silent steps. "Captain Malth, I truly hope that you have prepared your family to move to the new world. It will be bad when they get here. I'm troubled that the king refuses to believe me." There was a consoling rumble from the other man. "Well, sir, you're a singer, and your kind isn't taken well here. I'm not afraid of you, but others are." There was a pause in search of words. "And the king is, well, just thinking of his people. He doesn't want to cause panic. Lathmos couldn't conquer us anyway. We're by far the most powerful nation on Nam, and we're allied with the next. Only fools would attack us because we feed half the known world, and they would come to our aid. I've heard that Lathmos only has 30 ships or so that hail from her. While the sailors from Lathmos are not the best mannered, they are not our enemies." Makwa's ears lowered as he peered over the hay at the man talking to the guard captain. It was the robed man from the docks. In the light of the guard captain's lantern, it was clear that he was one of the oddest-looking people Makwa had ever seen. White fur covered his body until sky-colored robes halted Makwa's inspection, and over his cheeks were two golden stripes under ice-blue eyes. Those eyes closed. "Captain Malth, nevertheless, I urge you to move your family. I came to warn Barumith, and warn you I have. This world is about to see trouble like it never has. The weapons you will see if you stay are things that there are no Barumish words for. They can rain fire on your city." For a moment, the captain said nothing as his eyes rested on the younger man, and then he smiled. "Siruth, I hope your dreams of this terror do not come true. My duty is here, and here I and mine shall stay." Siruth nodded. "Yes, duty. I can handle myself from here. The king was kind to offer me a cart in Cathbury. Please thank him once more on my behalf. I can hitch it up and be on my way before daybreak. Feel free to return to your quarters. You have the look of one needing sleep." Malth nodded. "I will, and good luck." With a salute, he strode out. His armored boots clanked away on the cobblestones loud enough to be heard through the roaring hush of the rain. Siruth knelt down and seemed to mumble something for a moment. Makwa remained silent and eased back down below the big bale of hay before him. "Stealing isn't very nice, you know." Makwa's blood froze in his veins, and a lump formed in his throat as he remained still. Siruth uttered a little chuckle. It made him gulp. "Yes, I'm talking to you. Come down, let's have a look at you." His claws sank into the hay before him as his heart raced. He knew that if he was found here by the watch, he'd be flogged and imprisoned again, or worse. He held his breath and remained still. Siruth tossed the spoon up over the hay bale, and it landed at Makwa's feet. He gripped his tail in his hands to still it as he held back a groan when Siruth began climbing the ladder. He looked around for a place to hide and saw that there was none that would suffice. He could see that the man had found the spoon and guessed someone was up there. But how could he know he was still there? Could he smell him? "Great fish," he thought. Cathbury's load as the loft ladder creaked with Saru's weight. Terrified, Makwa backed into a dark corner, and his golden eyes filled with fear as the tops of Saru's ears poked over the hay bale. The stranger was almost on him. He considered running, but that meant a jump to the cobblestone floor below, and that would result in injury. It was very probable that he'd be overtaken there. His mind raced. Siruth was quite nimble, and his white pelt added a ghost-like quality to his movements in the dim light. He knelt near the bale, sniffed, and then lifted some hay to his nose. He reached down to pick up the spoon and looked around again. He stood and began walking toward Makwa's corner in a slow and deliberate way.
All is well. Come out. I'm not someone who will hurt you.
Makwa felt a bit more secure at those words, but that security was shattered and he yelped as thunder boomed outside. His eyes met those of Saruth and seemed locked within the stranger's gaze as the man hummed a soft tune. It was as if he was holding him in an invisible kind of embrace. He offered a hand to Makwa, claws hidden, palm forward for the palm-touch greeting. The thief cowered in the shadows and didn't know what to do.
What could he do? It's all right. I know you must have been hungry. I'm Saruth, and if you'll let me, I'd like to talk to you.
Makwa gulped and reached out with a shaky hand toward the one offered him. It was all he could do to find his voice.
Makwa.
If he could get out of this, he would. All he needed was to run away later, just get an opening and bolt. The stranger couldn't connect him to previous crimes or report him before he got over the wall, could he?
It's going to be all right. Just breathe, Makwa. Now then, what brought you here,
Saruth situated the harness on the chosen calfberry and began buckling it.
So, Makwa, did you run away from home?
Makwa shook his head. No. Mother died, and then...
Saruth's hands paused, and he looked at Makwa with a brow lifted.
And then?
Makwa gave a long sigh as he looked away.
And then the money ran out.
Saruth nodded. No other family or home? Makwa shook his head and looked back at the man, who was flicking his white tail. His eyes followed it and then looked up as Saruth spoke.
Makwa, how many winters have you seen?
16.
Saruth blinked, and his eyes narrowed as they gazed into Makwa's.
Is that true?
Makwa found himself shaking his head. 12. Saruth nodded and finished harnessing the calfberry to the cart. He tossed his pack into it and walked over to where Makwa sat on a bale of hay. He settled down beside him.
Makwa, if you'd like, you can travel with me. I'll care for you if you help me in my tasks and do as I say.
Makwa looked at the doorway. All you'd have to do is run, just run, and make it to the wall before this man.
Could he?
He wasn't too sure. If he didn't, what would happen? A beating? He swallowed. Saruth uttered a low trill, a question in any language. Makwa looked up at the strange man. He was weird, but... Light flashed into the stable and reflected in Saruth's blue eyes in a way that made them seem red. Thunder boomed in the distance a moment later. Something about this stranger made Makwa feel hopeful, as though he had always been a friend and protector, even though they'd never met. It was as if Saruth had a good spirit, or perhaps was a good spirit.
Where are you going?
Saruth leaned back against the support post and waved his hand.
Where the path leads. I plan on heading east to Wazella and then crossing south to Naja City before setting sail again for First Shore. But where I go between those stops or if I add others remains to be seen.
Makwa blinked.
Can I think about it?
Outside, the rain had stopped and the first sounds of windows being opened could be heard. It was almost dawn.
Of course.
Saru stood, walked over to sit on the cart, and looked back.
Until I leave this stable, anyway. I suppose you have a moment or two until I go. Think well. Trusting in me isn't an easy thing, I know. My ways are different from those of most, and I will expect you to do as I say if you are to keep my company. But I will protect you and help you grow.
Saruth eyed the door and leaned a little closer as if colluding in secret.
If you still want to run, I'd suggest getting out either way. I'm not the one you need to worry about.
Makwa glanced up and then blinked. What he'd expected to see was a smug expression.
There was compassion in a set of blue eyes that had a hint of sorrow in them. Life must be hard for you, but this has to be your decision unfettered by any coercion. I'm like Jehovah that way. I won't force you to walk with me. I'd like to help you, but you must choose it.
The first rays of sunlight peeked over the far horizon through the fading clouds and washed into the stable over Saruth's face. He gazed into the light with his vertical pupils narrowed to thin slits, tail slowly swaying behind him as he whispered something to himself. After a few moments, he looked over.
What's it going to be, Makwa? Are you going to stay here and continue to steal for your meals? Or are you going to go with me into a new life?
Makwa hopped onto the cart behind Saruth. Who was this guy? He had to find out, and maybe he could have a new life. He could always run away if it came to it, find another city. He was pretty good at stealing meals. The white stranger seemed sharper than most, and if he was actually willing to help Makwa, that was even better. Saru smiled and flipped the reins. The cart lurched forward into the morning air.